Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuning to Anointed Sounds Radio, the station that's giving you the hits and much, much more. www.anointedsounds.com, WWJAFM, with your girl Elena Sanders.
And Lisa Williams.
And today we have a special guest with us, none other than author Dwayne Williams, talking about his book, Reputations Fade Away. I think we have our author with us today on the show. Let me check and see. Dwayne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, ladies. How y'all doing today?
Hey,
how you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing good. I appreciate this opportunity for coming on the show. I apologize for last month, but I'm glad that God gave us a second chance to have the show, and I'm ready to do it.
Okay.
All right. He's a God of second chance. I tell you. Well, how's it going? It looks like you're in the D.C. area.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, how's it going over in D.C.?
It's going good. We just had a bad accident, a train accident, so I want to dedicate this show to the victims. We had four victims that died on the metro today.
Oh, my God.
Two trains collided with each other, and we had like nine people hurt. It may be more victims, but they're still working on it right now.
But I wanted to
dedicate this show to those victims that have died and those victims that have been injured as well. And I want to let them know that they are loved, and send up a prayer through God, and I ask God to bless them and their families, and pray that they heal and recover and give God glory.
Amen.
So that's basically it. But it's going good here in D.C. It's been a blessing to be able to be a self-published author and to be able to get the recognition and the fan club that God has allowed me to obtain along the way in my 2 years of being an author. It's been truly a blessing. I had no intentions of knowing that my book was going to reach the level that it reached. You know, Reputations Fade Away, I had no intentions. I just basically done what God asked me to do at the particular moment, and just done what he asked me to do, and he's been blessing me, you know, giving me very good reviews, and I've been meeting people all over the world, and I mean famous people, people I never even thought I even had a chance to meet and to get my book into their hands. So it definitely has been a truly blessing, and I'm just humbled, you know. I'm just very humbled because I am really seeing what God can actually do. You know, they say
Amen.
God created the world in 7 days, but I bet those were the best 7 days that the creation, just creating it, period. You know what I'm saying? And you see what God can do with your life. It's amazing, you know, when you trust him. So that's what Reputations Fade Away is about. It's just based on my testimony and how God found me. And not that I found him, but it's him finding me and me recognizing
his
calling on my life, you know, accepting that calling and just basically giving him glory. And that's the way I wrote my book. My book is written, it's an autobiography, and I wrote it from my heart. And I wanted to write my book because my book is I was inspired by the movie Antoine Fisher to tell my story. Yeah, his movie inspired me. And, you know, I always give Antoine Fisher credit because I knew at the age of 21 that I was going to actually write a book. But what happened was I didn't believe in myself. I really didn't believe in the voice that I heard, because what actually happened was that I heard a voice at that particular time. I was at the lowest point of my life, actually getting ready to commit suicide, and I heard this voice that woke me up out of my sleep and told me that I was going to write a book. I was sitting on the couch, saw no one in front of me, but I heard a voice, and the voice told me I was going to write a book, and I was going to go through some trials and tribulations, but I was going to make it. I was 21 at the time. 7 years later, I saw the movie Antoine Fisher, and at that time I was willing to accept change in my life. I was willing to accept purpose in my life because I just had my daughter, And I grew up fatherless, and my father, he was in and out of jail. He was a big-time drug dealer on the streets of Washington, D.C. And I grew up as a young man, one of the young men on the streets of D.C. without a father. And I included these statistics in my book. There have been 6,591 murders on the streets of D.C. And as you know, Washington, D.C. has been the murder capital of America in the late 80s and early 90s. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, growing up during those particular years, I've been shot. I've been stabbed in several incidents, and my life was almost taken. So I included those statistics in my book because I wanted other young men to see and to know that they can overcome any obstacle that's in their way. But I also written the book because I wanted to inspire the people. I wanted to encourage them. I wanted to uplift their spirits. I wanted to use my story because I've seen how Antoine Fisher's story touched me. And I knew that my story would be a very encouraging story to other young men, and that's what God has allowed to do. I asked God to humble me when I started writing it, and he has given me that grace and that mercy on my life to continue to be humble and continue to help people along the way and to go out to the schools and to the jails and to the churches as well basically, you know, speak to the young adults, speak to the adults as well that have given up on their dreams. And believing in your dreams is the most powerful thing, and accepting your purpose. Once you know your purpose is it, me knowing my purpose has changed my life completely. I wake up every day knowing exactly what God wants me to do.
Wow,
regardless
that's awesome.
Of how long it takes me to do it, God has equipped me with the needs. Now, as far as the want, God said, you have to complete this task, and then I will supply this. I will supply that. But as far as everything that I need, as far as the needs, he has given me. So I've been using the utensils and the tools that he's given me, and he has been blessing me tremendously, unexpectedly and expectantly, because a lot of things come that I don't even see coming my way. But it definitely has been truly a roller coaster ride that I have enjoyed, you know, and I know to ride roller coasters myself with my hands up, so that makes it even more because it's a thrill, you know what I'm saying? It's a thrill. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what this roller coaster ride of me living out my dream, far as my book being an author, and has been. It's definitely been a true thrill of where I wake up every morning, like I say, knowing what it is that God wants me to do, and being able to multitask, something I wasn't able to do years ago. But I thank God for that.
Well, and that's what obedience will do, you know. But I have a question for you, Dwayne. What were you doing in those 7 years when you first heard the voice calling you to write this book? I know it was probably a little odd for you. What did you do at that moment, and what transpired in the next 7 years until you finally saw Antoine Fisher and was inspired to actually have the courage to go ahead and do it?
Wow. That's actually a good question, because no one has asked me that question. What took place during those 7 years that God had allowed me to, after I heard that voice, I have to be honest with you. I was reading on the third grade level in the eighth grade. My reading was not up on the level that I felt that I could be an author. So I felt as if I couldn't read or write on the level of an author. So I kind of was like, I doubted it. But at the same time, for some reason, God had started allowing me to keep a diary. And in my diary, what God was doing, I see it now that I can look back over it, but what I was doing with the diary, I was writing prayers and I was writing down dreams. And I noticed that when I was a kid, I used to always have dreams of mountains, and I was like just conquering them, you know, just going from mountain to mountain to mountain to mountain.
Wow.
And I couldn't understand what was actually God showed me, but I. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I apologize. I heard something. Say something. I'm apologizing.
I heard it too. Oh, I didn't hear a thing, but I heard a pause.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Off. I apologize. So I started keeping a diary. I was writing down my dreams, and I just was writing. And what God was doing, he was building my passion up to write.
Wow.
And when you're writing, you know, you go through a thought process and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And everything doesn't come out at one time. You get writer's block, you go up, you go down, and you're trying to figure out how to be creative with what you're doing. And so I just started off writing prayers, writing my dreams down. And during that 7 years, I was up and I was down. I was in and I was out of church. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? But I
mm-hmm.
never lost my faith, and I never lost touch with God. I just got to a point that where God was maturing me, but I didn't know that that's what God was doing. I thought
because
I wasn't in church, or I was out of church, or I got out of church and falling right back into the same trap of me going to the clubs, chasing women
mm-hmm.
and things
mm-hmm.
like that. But what God was doing was adding the chapters to the book.
Wow.
When people talk about my book, they're basically talking about the last 7 chapters of the book. They're like, wow, I can't believe you've done this. I can't believe you've done that. Or this particular chapter, Olivia, when I was married, which is a chapter that's in my book, when I was talking about my marriage and things like that. So they like, so God, that's what God was doing. Those, he was just mm-hmm. adding chapters to the book, even though, you know, I had fallen out of his grace, but he was still protecting me. His angels were still protecting me, and he was leading me and guiding me without me at sometimes not asking for the guidance. But then I got to a point because of my faith and because of my desire and because of my passion. You know, like the scripture says, once you have you have the Holy Spirit within you, there's no way
mm-hmm.
you can get rid of it. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
right.
That keeps you connected with God, and it kept me connected
with
God through my ups and through my downs. But then I got to a point where God had given me exactly what I asked for. But
mm-hmm.
I was at a point where, in 2002, where I was like, okay, I have the job, I have my own place, I have 2 cars, I have money in the bank, I had my daughter, but something was just missing.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure it out what it was.
Mm.
And I had gotten back into church, was going to church faithfully and seriously, and then my pastor was preaching about purpose. And she was talking about, in order for you to find your purpose, you must start with God. You know, God
mm-hmm.
created you. He designed you. And she always talked about God giving us our instructions before we even got here. So when she was talking about purpose, I never even heard the word purpose come out of my mama's mouth. My mother always talked about going to college, getting up work, you know, the basic things. So when I heard purpose, it was like I was at that point where I was open, and I just continuously kept praying. And
when you're talking about that, I kind of feel like those dreams you were having about the mountains was showing you the purpose. To climb these mountains in your life and excel, because you said you were going from mountain to mountain. It seems like there's a connection there.
Yes. And what happened was my pastor was also talking about asking God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got to the point where I was like, look, I am not afraid. If
mm-hmm.
God can do what I can't do, and I was 27, 28 at the time. I said, you know what? I'm going to take God at his word, because he said, try me, and I will pull out the blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. So I was serious. Every time it came to my mind, I was like, God, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? What's my purpose?
Mm.
What am I here for? And then one day, my mother had came over my house, my apartment at the particular time, and gave me the movie Antoine Fish. She said, I want you to watch it. She didn't say nothing about it or whatever. So I'm looking at it like, what's this movie about? She's like, I just want you to watch it. And when I watched that movie, I cried like a baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I never, ever, I cried over a movie like that. Man, I shed some tears, and I'm being real. I'm a real man of man. But this movie had broken me down because when Antoine Fisher was talking to his mother, I felt his pain. I felt his expression towards his mom, and those are the same things I wanted to say towards my father. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I know I haven't been a perfect child, but then I was looking at God as well, in a sense, like, God, I'm begging you. I'm asking you to use me. I'm coming to you on a daily basis, and I laid on the floor. I was crying to my mother. My mom was like, I told you one day that you was going to feel it and you was going to cry. You should have went to church. I mean, you should have went to college and finished college. I did complete 2 years of college, but I just didn't feel that college was for me. And I cried and I cried. And then after I watched the movie, shortly after I watched it, I think probably a couple of weeks later it hit me. I said, I want to tell my story.
Wow.
I said, I want to tell my story. And that's when I accepted what God had already said when I was 21
years
old to do. I accepted
right.
it. I was willing. I was like, okay, what is it that I have to do? And I started reaching out to other authors and trying to figure out how could I go about writing my book. I knew that I wanted to write an autobiography. And no one wanted to help me, and I just started talking to God. I got serious with God because I know God is the connection to everything you want.
Amen.
He know everybody you know.
That's
so,
right.
Or you want to know. So I just started praying to God and asking, look, God, I need you to show me this. How do I do it? And then he put an editor in front of me, and this lady began to work with me and to form my thinking and train me through the things that she was telling me. And I'm a type of person. I don't take criticism as negative. I take it as a positive because
that's right.
if I need to improve on anything, you know what I'm saying, that helps me better myself. Let's say, for instance, if you didn't know that your sock had a hole in it and somebody pointed out, how can you get mad with that individual? You know
right.
next time not to come out with a hole in your sock. You feel what I'm trying to
or
say?
Or to look. To
yeah,
look
you know what I'm saying?
right.
So what happened was she was giving me all this criticism about my story. She was just breaking it down. Look, it doesn't, you know, your grammar, your speech, some of your spelling, she gave me all this, but she said, you know what? You have a story to tell. She said, you
right.
have it. She said, but you got to develop it better. I want you to read Man, Child, and the Promised Land. I want you to read Nathan McCall, Make Me Want to Holler.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading those books and seeing how the chapters started, then chapters ended. And I also was looking at how they were creating their stories through the drama that they have been through. Now, we look at it as if when you're a writer, the things that, like, far as the autobiography, I didn't want to get into the drama in my life. I wanted to do the Jesus story, but that was the story
right.
that God did. God was like, okay, look, I'm going to be in it, but
right,
what I want
right.
you to do, I need you to go deeper. I need you to open up those things that you dealt with and
right.
you went through and you experienced because I want to deliver you and also someone else.
Ooh,
so writing became therapy to me. It became
That's
therapy
right.
to me because now as I begin to write my story and tell my story, I was beginning to see all the things, how things happen, why they happen, and it was understanding to me, and also I was able to see where I went wrong, where I was blind,
right.
and also the people that I wronged, and I was able to see
right.
my frame of mind, their frame of mind as well. Writing was very therapy to me as well, but as I was writing the book, it was very challenging.
Right.
Towards the end of the book, I had a cousin that I actually grew up with, and me and him were best cousins.
I was going to ask you about that, the one who
yeah,
shot you.
Yes. We were best cousins. And as I was writing the book, mind you, this is why I am writing the book. And I know you read the book because now you're talking about my cousin.
Uh-huh.
Towards the end of the book, listen to this. Towards the end of the book, and you know the chapter, 1,000 Deaths, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on that particular chapter.
Okay.
And as I'm writing, I'm like, where I got stabbed, where I got shot, and I'm like, God, do not hold anything from me. Give me the essence. Give me everything that, how, take me back to exactly how it happened. Give me all the details of everything.
Right.
And as I was writing, I got to a point I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because it was so painful.
Right.
Mind you, you know the particular chapter, like I said, is 1,000 Deaths, where this was God moving. This was God moving. I took a 2-week break. I was like, look, God, I can't do this. I can't do it.
Wow.
What God done, he moved because he was like, uh-uh, you are going to continue doing what I want you to do. God made peace. He brought about peace. You remember when I was talking about in the book where I set all my cousins down and my other cousin was trying to get me to kill the cousin that actually shot me and stabbed me. And I was in confusion, and I had to pull away from everything. And the person that I trusted was God. I couldn't trust the individual friends and my cousins and things. But I had to trust God. And because I trust God, God brought me out of all of that. And you see what happens at the end of the book is unbelievable, completely unbelievable what transpired between my cousins and my cousin and the friends and the guys that we actually grew up. You know, it was truly shocking to the family, you know, and the family, my family is actually still dealing with it, but it's been a blessing to just be able to see God move and to know that he moved, not me, but to know that he moved through this situation and allow these particular problems to become chapters, and not only just chapters, but God is still getting the glory. He's still getting the glory.
That's right.
Yes, we had some lives lost. Yes, there were some people that got lost along the way. But when I go out to these schools and I'm speaking to these kids, that's the real, true blessing, because these kids, I just actually done, last month I done a career day. There were 50 other different career people that were there, doctors, lawyers, preachers, a lot of different careers. And I was just there. I was actually set up. I was at a charter school here in Washington, D.C., where I believe there are 300 students at this particular high school, charter school. And I was speaking, and I'm just basically speaking, talking about my book, and the kids, they would not move. They had 10 minutes with each individual career person that was there, and they would not move. I mean, the girls, the boys, they wouldn't move because they knew what I was saying out of my mouth was true.
Right.
They knew
they
that my story was true. The relating, as far as the kids being able to relate to my story, that's the blessing within itself. I had no intentions that I was going to become an author, for one. Now I am an author, motivational speaker, CEO of my own business. I oversee everything. Everything comes to me. And God has blessed me with this responsibility, but the responsibility, you know, to much is given, much is required. And what's required of me is to continue to mold, to shape, and to give God glory as I go out into these schools. This is not about Dwayne Williams. I just won Author of the Year award for my book 2 weeks ago at the Book Expo of America, which was at up in New York at the Jarvis Center up in New York in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I had no clue that I was going to win this award. The company that I am with is Amber Books. And Tony Rose is the CEO of Amber Books, which is the number one self-publishing black company in America. You can Google him.
Okay.
He called me. He asked me to come last year. And I was like, look, Tony, you know, because the booth prices, you know, the prices are up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking more like 1,000. So I'm like, look, I don't have it. I can't come. And this year he called me. He said, look, I'm going to drop the price. He said, I want you to come. You have sold a lot of books. And he said, man, it's time for you to come on up to the big time. I mean, he was just talking to me and was like, look, I'm not taking no for an answer. And he was calling me. He called me like 3-4 times, you know. And he was like, you're going to come. You're going to come. He said, I'm not playing. You're going to come. So, I went on. I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and pay what he asked me to pay. And just so happened, the Lord blessed me with the money.
Wow.
I sent it off. I went. And here I am, a self-published author. I started off selling my book in the barbershop here in my neighborhood, which is Lee's Barbershop. I done my very first book signing there. And no one taught me how to sell books or anything. I started off in that barbershop, and I went from the barbershops to the hair salon, from the hair salons to the churches, from the churches up to getting into the bookstores, and from the bookstores just doing different things of moving with D.C. Bookman, going up to New York doing book signings up there, Harlem Book Fest, the Capitol Book Fest, going down to Houston, just traveling and moving with my book, which I never even thought that I would do, you know. And now here I am, a self-published author. I'm in New York. I'm around authors like Omar Tyree, Zane, Brenda Thomas, Relentless Iron, and Wesley Snipes is there, Travis Smiley, Michael Coyer, Cornel West. What's my buddy name? George Frazier. You know, I'm around these particular people. Tom Joyner Silver on Tom Joyner Show also there. And the guy walks up to me, and I am like, I feel like I'm the smallest person in the room, even though I'm selling my book. I'm amongst all of these elite people selling my book, and I'm humbled. But then Tony Rose come up to me and say, and he calls me, I love the way he say my name, tickles me the way he say my name, because he said, hey, Kojak, he talks deep. And he said, you know we got an award for you. So I was like, an award? Yeah, no more. He's like, you author of the year. You sold a lot of books, man, and, you know, you deserve it. And he said, you know, and he said, the reason why I'm giving you this book, I mean, I'm giving you this award, I apologize for saying, but is that your outreach to the children has been tremendous. And that's where the blessing comes from, of my book being able to reach these plateaus. I've been able to do here locally in Washington, D.C., Channel 7, Channel 8, Channel 9, Channel 4, Channel 5, WTOP Radio, the Afro-American newspaper, the Washington Post have done an article on my book as well. And these things, I had no clue that my book was going to be able to reach these heights and these levels. I've been able to speak to Gayle King. I've been able to speak to Antoine Fisher. You understand what I'm trying to say to you?
Yeah.
My dream that God gave me, if I didn't take the steps of believing what God said, guess what? I would have never, ever been able to test the lives that I've been able to test. This is God's doing. This is not my doing. I'm humble by this. I am very humble.
And like you said, you even got your own healing from it. God is dynamic like that. He'll do wondrous things that will heal you and touch people that you come in contact with. And that's it's just a great testimony of obedience, what obedience will do. Because, you know, it took you 7 years, but you always held on to what you heard, because you know you heard it. And then look at how he just opened up the opportunities, and he continues to do so because I think of your obedience and the humility.
Oh, yes, yes. I got up. I was the last one to receive an award. Everyone else was able to speak on going on CNN, Time Magazine, TV shows. I got movies coming out. I'm just talking about the individuals who are speaking. And,
right.
And I got up there, and I was like, I can't say anything on the level that they on.
Right.
What I just did and what I always do when I get up and speak, I basically just say, God, you give me the words. You touch my tongue and allow
right.
your anointing to bless those people
mm-hmm.
that are listening. I got up. I gave God his glory. I spoke
mm-hmm.
from my heart. I told my testimony and explained to those people that I didn't even believe I was going to live to see 18. I'm 33 years old now. I'm a father to my child, and my father wasn't a father to me. I
right.
love my child dearly. Not only do I take care of my child, I take care of my brother's child as well, too. So I'm a father
wow.
of two little girls, 8 and 9
mm-hmm.
years old, and I'm still standing, as Antoine Fisher said. I'm still standing. I'm still strong, and I always will be because God has backed me. But when I spoke, once I received the award, it was
mm-hmm.
the most blessed speech that not only touched individuals in the crowd. I don't know if
mm-hmm.
you know Carl Mackey, which is she is the editor-in-chief of she's the editor-in-chief of I can't even think right now. I'm so killing it right now. She's the editor-in-chief of Black Expression, Carl Mackey.
Okay.
She comes over to me right after I speak, and she gave me this hug, and she said, brother, your testimony touched me. And people were just lining up, just giving me hugs because they were touched.
Right.
Mind you, I had to leave like 20 minutes later because we had to be out of there. It was like 20 minutes to 5, and 5 o'clock we had to be out.
Okay.
I pack my things. I get to the car. I get in the car and turn on the radio, and the song started to begin, and it was Gerald LaVert and Eddie LaVert, The Wind Beneath
mm-hmm.
My Wings. Did you ever know that you were my hero?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I broke down.
Okay.
My daughter was in the back seat. My niece mm-hmm. was back there. My mother was right there. And my mother didn't say nothing. She knew that I was, you know, I told my mama, I said, Ma, I would never, ever even thought that I would receive. Now, it wasn't the award that touched me.
Right.
What
right.
touched me was my testimony that came over that microphone when I was speaking amongst these elite people. I was humbled.
Right.
And for the elite people to come over to me individually and hug me and embrace me with humility and say, brother, you
mm-hmm.
touch me. Continue to do what you're doing. It was inspiring to me because, like I said, I always felt when I was a kid that it was something special about me, but I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know
right.
the uniqueness about me. But at the same time, looking back where I came from and where God has brought me, I'm like, wow. It's that blessing that I'm trying to say to you. Like my pastor preached, God, he didn't say that I will pull you out blessing.
Right.
That you won't have room enough to receive. He said, I will pull you out a blessing, one blessing,
mm-hmm.
and that
right.
one blessing you won't have room enough. And that's what my
wow.
book has done. I've been at a
mm.
point where I live paycheck to paycheck. You know what I'm saying? It's a blessing to be able to have something to live for. And if it wasn't for my book, and I tell you the truth, if it wasn't for my book at the particular time of me writing it, and I was writing it when I was going through my divorce, which was a hard part for me, but because I had been through other things in my life that was just as stressful to me, I was
mm-hmm.
able to push myself and
right.
focus on what it is that God wanted me to do. And my book made it seem like my divorce ain't even take place.
Wow.
That was the blessing. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? God, with this book, he had his hand on it. He allowed me to say the things I said in that book. I could have went even deeper into my book, but God, there were some things that when you're writing, you feel it. You know what to say and what not to say. You know what I'm saying? You know how
right.
far to go, and you know how far you should go and you shouldn't go. So, and I thank God for those things that I've been able to endure and to being able to overcome. This particular
right.
song always touches me when I listen to it. Murray, Murray, thank you, Lord. It could have been me. I look back
wow.
over my life, and I look back and say, you know, I look at my cousins, and it makes me think of my cousins. A lot of my cousins died, you know, and I always thought that we would be closer in our lives as we grew older. And as you see, one of them was my enemy. The rest of them, I was still close with them. I still loved them. But we grew apart as we became men, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And because I dedicated my life to Christ, you see my fruit. My
That's
fruit
right.
speaks for itself. The fruit speaks
that's
for
right.
itself, and that's because God gave it to me, and I accepted it. But I preach purpose to people, and I tell them, look, find your purpose in life. I preach it to the kids and let
right.
them know you have to know what your purpose is. Once you know your purpose in life, you won't be focused on anything else. You know exactly what it is that you want to do. You're not focused on nobody laughing at you because
that's
can't
right.
nobody stop you. Can't nobody stop
Amen.
You from eating. Can't nobody
no,
stop you from eating.
No,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? So, and that's one of the things I live by. Can't nobody stop me from eating. I don't care if I had to dump trash, to be honest with you. As long as I'm eating and my bills paid, I'm going to be grateful and thankful. And I've
Amen.
Learned to, deal with that as well. You know, when things are not going right, I learned not to focus on the negativity, but focus on the positivity and the hopes and the dreams of the things that I'm asking God for. And I continue to act in a positive manner and not allow the negativity to turn me away from God, because you got to realize what's going on in your life when things are not going wrong. It tries to get you and knock you off course with God. That's what the distractions are, is to knock you off course with God. As long
that's
as
right.
you continue
that's
to
right.
press towards God, please believe me, he's going to bring you through that storm.
Amen.
He's going to bring you
that's
through. And that's what Reputations Fade Away is about. He brought me through all of them storms because I was continuously focusing on what was next and what it is that he wanted me to do.
Right. That is awesome.
Yeah, I'll probably say this boy is long-winded.
I mean, I'm just taken away, and I could hear your passion and even the humility. I mean, and having read your book, I see you went through so much. I mean, so much. I was taking notes when I read your book, and I'm like, oh, my God. Just the fact of your cousin trying to kill you several times. And the things that you went through and the groups that you were hanging with. But you know what? I did have a question for you. At one point in your book, you said that money was the root of all evil. And because of that knowledge, you couldn't even trust people who you considered friends. Because there's one particular person, I can't remember his name right now, but he used to rob people when he was broke. And
Chaco.
You said that, oh, right. And you said that
Chaco.
That's right. And he
yes.
invited you to come along with him, and you told him that's not your thing. And the question I had was there always something in you that you felt separated you from them? Because I see even though you got involved with a lot of things, there were it's like you had certain boundaries, things, you know, places you wouldn't cross. And also you were smart.
I wouldn't say smart, but to be honest,
well, that's what the teacher said. Look, that's what
I would say
said.
the protection of God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when I was growing up, like I explained in the book, my mother and my aunt they didn't play stealing. They didn't play stealing. If you stole something, you got a whooping. And you know, when you're a kid, you trying to minimize how many times you got to get whoopings. That's even when you get a whooping. That's even when you get a whooping with the iron cord. You know what I'm saying?
Woo!
You get a whooping
yeah.
with the iron cord. You like, look, I ain't
Woo,
trying to
boy.
Go to school with no webs on me. You know what I'm saying? You trying to minimize it. And my mother stressed not stealing. And still to this day, I don't steal. I'm
right.
not a thief. When I started getting into the street life as I got into my teenage years, when I started kind of branching off into my becoming a young adult, was that there were guys that they was out to take expensive coats like Eddie Biles, eight-ball mm-hmm. jackets. They were taking guys' shoes, guys'
yeah,
jewelry,
read all
roach
of that.
Chain. They were doing all of them things, and I wasn't with it because what I noticed was that when guys went out and robbed, and they still, that brought extra attention to you from the perspective of if somebody got robbed, there was a potential of that particular person coming back. And also what I've seen on the streets was that sometimes that individual may not come back and get you. Somebody
right.
that some kin of them might get you. And also if you go to jail, if you kill somebody or harm somebody's family member, they got family member over the jail waiting on you.
Oh,
but
wow.
me seeing the particular guys that I was around them for protection, but also, hello?
Yeah.
I was around them for protection, but I wasn't as cold-hearted as they were.
Right.
I wasn't going to allow the way that they went about taking things from people need to do the same. And because I was able to also have a little bit of an expensive things in the clothes that they had, I wasn't as greed as they were. The guys
right.
that I hung around when I was young, they had the greed in them where, you
right.
know, they wanted it all. You know what I'm saying? If they couldn't get their way, you know what I'm saying, they would just they just wanted to take things, and I wasn't on that level. I wasn't on that
right.
level of taking it. And I always worked when I was young, you know, I always worked.
Mm-hmm.
But there were times where, like, ex-drug dealers would come up to me. And one particular incident I was around when I was out there selling drugs, one particular guy, I always remember this, he came to me, and it was like about seven or eight of us, and he was just talking about God, and he was talking about Christ, and how he used to be out there selling drugs. He went to jail, and he said, he got to talking, and then everybody went away, and I was the only one standing there. And he told me, he said, man, because you stood here and listened to me, he said, God is going to bless you.
Wow.
And that always stuck with me, because one thing I can't say as a kid, as I grew up, I was always curious about God. I was
right.
always curious about God. And I learned how to pray when I was in the fifth grade. I went to Catholic school for a year. So I always kind of prayed at night. You know what I'm saying? I always kind of prayed. And I knew that I was doing wrong. And I knew that my mother, she wasn't into no negativity. My mother is very positive. She was very hurt when she did read my story, because a lot of stuff was hid from her. You know,
right.
I hid a lot of stuff from her. You know, I come in the house, I'm mama's baby, but when I was in the street, I was getting into all of these things because
right.
not only was I under peer pressure, I was just basically hanging with guys in the neighborhood. You know,
mm-hmm.
I needed the protection from the neighborhood. You know, I needed the acceptance as well, because these were the guys that grew up as well. But as I got older, seeing so much negativity allowed me to see that I wanted to be even more positive. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Even though I was caught up and I also done some of the negativity that was done, but it was experienced to me to allow me to see that I shouldn't do it again.
Right.
So it helped me as an individual to see the things and to be exposed to those things as a child, to be able to grow and develop into the man that I am.
Right. That is awesome. What an awesome, awesome testimony. God has truly, truly blessed you because of your obedience. Elena.
I am here.
Hey.
I knew when I was doing the producing in a bag. Awesome story. Just
you hear this, man? The
yes.
one is the bomb.
Awesome.
God has done some wonderful things for him. And, I mean, I'm just amazed by his humility.
And let everyone know, listening artists know, where they can actually get your book, Dwayne.
Well, you can get the book. The book is in stores. You can go to my website, www.reputationswithanSfadeaway.com, www.reputationsfadeaway.com, Or you can order the book from Amazon.com as well. Reputation Stayed Away is the book. I am author of the year 2009, author of the year. Dwayne Williams, best-selling author as well. Go out and cop the book today. I appreciate you, and I thank you for allowing me to come on to the radio station and be able to share my story and my testimony with the world.
All right. Thank you so much, and thank everyone for tuning in to Anointed Sounds Radio Station. It's been much, much more. Remember, you can listen to us 24/7. Also, Gospel on Demand at www.anointedsounds.com with the girl Elena Sanders.
And Lisa Williams.
Thank you.
And
so
Dwayne,
much.
We thank you again for coming on.
All right.
Ladies, I thank you. I thank you. God bless you. And if you, I look forward to coming back on the show again.
All right.
All right.
Wake up the church with this old school jam. Shout to the Lord in here. You know that he's good and his mercy endures forever. And the people of God said, they said, what's up? And the people of God said, yeah. The people of God said, yeah. Now we serve notice to depression, confusion, all manner of evil and every sickness. You came in a bind, but you cannot stay, cause the people of God, we ain't having it. It's a good day, even though I cried last Tuesday, and I was out of cash by Friday. No matter what comes next, I'm gonna stand up and give it the praise.
You're just a good one.